Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill, a new podcast series from Newstalk.
So welcome to Show Me the Science with me, Luke O'Neill. Now we're going to talk about music. One of my favourite things, because I play guitar and piano, and of course science is unrelenting, and it asks the big question, what is music? Why do we love music? I mean, it's a funny thing to ask, I guess, and science has no boundaries, and we don't really know. Humans are unusual in that among all the species on Earth, we love music. Every culture, every ethnicity, everybody loves music. At least most people love music. And it seems unusual. It seems like a truly human trait that music would be so popular among everyone all over the world. Does it have a function? It must have a function. Most things in biology do something and we don't really know. Ideas are, it's about emotion, maybe expressing ourselves. It's about groups coming together. We're very sociable as creatures. It might even help us concentrate. Let's look at now the scientific basis for our response to music. We do know it goes back a very, very long time. Humans, it seems, since they evolved almost, have loved music. And the oldest instrument, here's a fact for you, scientific fact, we love facts, is a mammoth bone that was made into a flute. It's 37,000 years old. So even back then, they were using little instruments, I guess, to enjoy themselves and play music on. So it's a very ancient thing, we think, goes way back through our history. And it does seem to be about emotion. And in fact, maybe music is emotion. And we all know this, don't we? When we hear a piece of music we love, we might feel a bit emotional and it might help us express our emotions in various ways. A great definition is music is love. Interestingly, that kind of thing is one of the big ideas. Now, when I say it's humans that love music, some animals do as well. I mean, they've studied this just to see if animals can respond to music. Dogs definitely like it. And there are really good studies showing that if you play music to dogs, they relax, for example, certain types of music more than others. So, for example, heavy metal really annoys dogs. It annoys me too. Some love it, mind you, I'm not knocking it, but some dogs get agitated if the music is very raucous, whereas gentle music, the dogs actually relax. Interestingly, cats, no response. Now, we know cats are superior creatures to us. They rule our lives in many ways. They don't seem to care about music. So it's not as if it's universal, as if all creatures on Earth love music. Elephants, interestingly, love music as well. And incredibly, there are orchestras of elephants. Get this, they've given elephants drums and stuff to blow on and stuff. And they actually like it. They like the sounds that these instruments make. And even more interestingly, if they're in tune, the instruments, the elephants seem to like it more. So elephants can tell if something's out of tune or not. And again, this tells us there's something biological going on here with different creatures and the way they like music and might actually play music. But interestingly, some humans don't like music and some have a condition called amusia. This is a defined state. 1 in 25 people have no interest at all in music, and they call it amusic, or amusia is the term for this. And 4% of us are what's called tone deaf. Now what that means is if I play you a note and then play a higher note, you can't tell if that note is higher or lower than the note I play. You can't pick up the tone of the music. So 4% have no sense of music at all. This means it can't be essential for life, because obviously we all have hearts that beat, for instance, and if you have a heart attack, you die. In the case of music, some have no interest. So it's not as if it's completely essential for life itself. And that tells us something, I guess, about what music might be for. Secondly, a part of the brain lights up when we listen to music and enjoy it. And if you put someone with amusia or tone deafness into, again, the MRI imager, which images the brain, a part of the brain called the arcuate fasciculus does not light up in people who are tone deaf. So again, the brain is sensing the notes in some way and then can tell the tone from them. So we know there's a strong biological basis to music, I guess. So now let's think about what is it for? And again, scientists have studied this. Why would so many of us love it, play instruments and all that kind of thing? Well, a big one is definitely to do with communal activity. So if you hear a football crowd belting out the Fields of Athenry, that's That's a fantastic feeling. So music seems to be very enjoyable for us in a crowd. Maybe it bonds us together. And humans, biologically, are defined as a social species. Of course we are. We're not loners like other animals are. So we hang around in packs, basically. And music bonds us together. And there's no doubt, if you go to a huge gig full of people, let's say Electric Picnic, and we've all seen this and been there even, that's an intense experience. You get swept up in this tremendous thing. I mean, fantastic feelings. That's why music festivals are so important and why we hope we can get back to them very soon, because they're such pleasurable things to do. Thousands and thousands of people in a big crowd enjoying music on the stage and singing along and then singing themselves if they're in a football crowd. It's fantastically beneficial as a thing to do. And that tells us then maybe it evolved as part of our social nature. Now, if we look at a bit more, get this bit. So one fact of music that always fascinated me, why are minor chords sad and major chords happy? And that's not obvious, is it really? You play a chord, like a Spinal Tap famously said, D minor is the saddest chord of all.
I don't know why, but it makes people weep instantly to play a...
Why are these chords said to be sad? Well, again, if you take the frequency of them, sad speech, if you speak in a downbeat way...
I have an awful, dreary, monotonous voice, God.
That gives out similar signals to minor chords, whereas happy speech...
Ted, were you asking for a dramatic, exciting voice?
...is major. So we're picking up then on happiness and sadness by listening to those two types, I guess. That's one reason why we think minor music is... It does sound sad. It's just like you're speaking in a sad way. And obviously we evolved to detect sadness in a voice, and then music mimics that. A second one that's really fascinating is a thing called dissonance. Now, dissonance means two notes that are not quite right. They're out of kilter. Say the notes C and F sharp. That's very dissonant. It was called the devil's interval in medieval times. If you stuck that into a piece of choral music, that was to signify the devil. Now that's dissonant. We don't like it. And good examples are Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix, one of my favourite guys. Purple Haze, the opening guitar sounds, is very dissonant. Or if you don't know who Jimi Hendrix is, the Simpsons theme tune. They're dissonant notes. And again, they make us feel uneasy. And that's what dissonance is all about. But the question is that a bit like major minor? Is it reflecting something else? It turns out it's learned. And this is a recent discovery. There was a tribe in South America called the Chimane tribe. And they're literally living in the Stone Age, kind of. They're an ancient people who haven't really modernized. They prefer dissonance. And they haven't heard any Western music, you see. So it looks as if you learn this when you're young, to distinguish dissonance from consonance. And Balinese musicians, famously, they actually tune their instruments to be dissonant. And they seem to like these jarring noises. So it does seem to be learned. So dissonance versus consonance in music seems to be a learned thing, whereas major, minor, that seems to be to do with happiness and sadness. And it's incredible when you think of scientists are measuring these things in people's responses. And who would ever have thought they would have found the Chimane tribe, who much preferred dissonance. And they don't like consonant music. They find that a bit uneasy for themselves. So again, this idea that it's sort of a learned thing is very interesting indeed. Now, let's move on, though, to what the music is for, a bit more than just the social bonding. Well, guess what? It's very good for your health. That's become very clear recently. If you listen to music you like, my favourite part of the body, the immune system, likes it as well. And an antibody called IgA goes up if you listen to music you enjoy. Now, what is IgA? It's a very important antibody to fight infection in your airways and in your gut. It's called a mucosal antibody, to give it its technical term. And of course, with COVID, we're very interested in mucosal immunology because it affects our airways. So IgA goes up if you listen to music you enjoy. A second cell type called natural killer cells. Now, these are a very important cell in the immune system. They're called natural killer cells because guess what? They kill viruses. So again, they're very important for the times we live in. These go up as well. So listening to music that you enjoy will boost your immune system. And then a recent study that's really interesting, people during the lockdown from COVID-19 were asked what gave them the most pleasure and made them feel the most relaxed. And they asked them, was it like exercise? Was it cooking, for instance? And guess what they all chose? Music. There was a majority of people said music makes us feel most relaxed and most de-stressed. And again, that gives a function. You can see how evolution then would allow music to be a great thing for us because it makes us feel more relaxed and might help us fight infection if our immune system gets boosted. So it's a very interesting sort of angle on this. And then a huge number of studies that I think are brilliant. Guess what? Being in a choir is hugely beneficial to us. And it gets back again to the notion of crowds and chanting and singing. But choirs do more than that. You get a big endorphin rush if you're in a choir. They measure these endorphins. They're that kind of happy hormones in your body. Secondly, you feel fantastically relaxed. You achieve flow, this great thing called flow. What is that? That means you're really in the zone. Now, you get flow by concentrating on something. And if you're in a choir, to learn the music and read the notes and then sing together in certain ways. It's learning to do this is really beneficial. And flow means you really feel alive, you know. And therefore, being in a choir is hugely beneficial. They've shown people in choirs are less likely to have things like Alzheimer's and cognitive problems. And again, because their brains love it. It's like food for the brain, being in a choir. And of course, the big thing we have with COVID is people can't sing anymore. That all the things this malicious virus does, it spreads through singing. Now, choirs are coming back a bit and they're able to do it by being distanced socially and maybe even wear masks when you're singing. It's a tough thing. But choirs are so important to so many people that we have to have choirs. Hugely beneficial as a community, hugely wonderful for our immune system. So again, that tells us really why music exists in a way, because it helps us feel better, doesn't it, about ourselves? And then secondly, can give our immune systems a huge big kick. And then the last thing to mention that's been done that I think is fascinating, other benefits that music bring. If you play music to cows, real science here now, they make more milk, right? Now, again, they think that's because the cows are relaxing a bit. And milk production is to do with if a cow is happy or relaxed. So music allows cows to make more milk. Secondly, and this is an absolute fascination in my opinion, they got students to study with music in the background or not. Now we all remember, don't we? Your mother saying, turn that music off, you're studying. Well, guess what? It turns out music in the background helps us learn. And not very loud music, obviously, just quite gentle music, music you like. A study showed if you got children to learn a vocabulary and had music in the background, they learned nearly 9% more words over that time. Isn't that amazing? Now, why is this? Well, it's almost as if the brain is locking into the music a bit and relaxing and bits are opening up in your brain that allow you to learn things. Again, it's about relaxation and flow, we think. So music must be setting off some brainwave patterns that are beneficial for learning. So again, you can see how that would be very beneficial. Now, one negative is music can be used to torment people. And almost like a torture. A great example is Somali pirates. The Navy there would blast music at them very loudly to try and get rid of them. What did they pick? Britney Spears, sadly. And a famous observer said they couldn't play Justin Bieber. That would defy the Geneva Conventions. That wasn't allowed. But Britney Spears was allowed to be played at these pirates. And again, even in Canada, for instance, they will, if a teenager is arrested for antisocial behaviour, they often play very loud heavy metal at them in the back of the police car or in this, just to really torment them. And it's cruel, I suppose it is. That's not the worst kind of torture, but you can use music then to torment people and torture them. Now, the last thing I want to talk about though is another slightly more serious thing, but again, it's fascinating. And again, it's real science. Everything I'm telling you, as ever, the scientific basis, there's data behind this stuff that supports what we're saying. And science needs data to come to some conclusion. You measure stuff and see if it's real. The choirs is a good example. Less incidence of Alzheimer's if you're in a choir. That's real numbers comparing choir people in choirs who are not, for instance. So it has to be supported by data. Very important. The vocabulary one, 9% more words. There's a great bit of data that shows that music is helping. And a control group wouldn't have had the music. And that's how they can tell. And they try to make sure everything's equal between the groups otherwise, other than the music. So this is really good. I mean, the science behind this is strong. Well, it's strong as we can get it, I guess. It's hard to get complete accuracy in these studies, but they're still good. The last thing, though, is this. A big controversy for about probably 80 years now is, should surgeons play music while they're operating? And it turns out that 72% of surgeons in a, you know, operating theatre have music in the background. And it annoys the nurses or the other staff, and even the patients can get annoyed by this. So there have been studies on, is this useful or not? And a lot of surgeons were looked at, a lot of operations were looked at, and the statistics were incredible. If there's music in the background that the surgeon likes, importantly, of course, and the team like, it improves the outcome from the surgery. So in other words, if you measure outcomes from surgery, and this might be any type of surgery, things are better if the music is playing and the surgeon does better. Now, again, is that because the surgeon is achieving flow and concentrating? That must be part of it. And maybe their fantastic skills are enhanced by having that music in the background. That might be why. So again, it speaks to this notion of flow in music. And of course, Apollo, the Greek god, was the god of healing and music. So the Greeks knew, the Greeks used to play music in their hospitals because they knew it was beneficial either for the doctors or for the patients. So interesting how that god is healing and music. Because the big question then becomes, what should a surgeon play in the background? I'm going to make some suggestions. Are you ready? Staying Alive would be a good one, wouldn't it? I think Getting Better. It's getting better all the time. My favourite band, the Beatles. You don't want to play Another One Bites the Dust or Let It Bleed by the Rolling Stones. They would be negative. But still, as long as the surgeon is happy and is enjoying the music at a low level, he's going to perform better. So next time you end up in hospital, insist on music. And in fact, overall, all this science tells us one thing. Music is fantastic for us at every level. It makes us feel happier, allows us to concentrate, boosts our immune system. So many benefits to music. So keep playing that music and you will do very well in your life. Thanks very much for joining me this week. We hope you'll subscribe and I'll see you next week.